This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Welcome you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If not, we always tell you up front, we mentioned that we have CDs available. All we ask for is a love offering, and whatever God would tell you to give, you send it in. We'd be glad to send you a copy of the program you'd like to hear again. So we're honored to be here. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island. We keep lifting them up. Their building's coming up. He's almost got the roof on. Hallelujah.
Well, it's getting there.
It's getting there. So he's believing this whole building's going to be pretty much done by the end of the year. The doors and everything, the windows will all be taken care of, and the roof. So they're almost there. Going through all these storms, they're doing quite well. So we say hello to you. God bless you. And we continue to take care of you as best of our ability. We love you so much. And so we thank you for what you're doing over there, that we're a part of you and you're a part of us. Amen.
Amen.
So here we are on the program. We got Sharon with us here today. She's got something interesting she's going to talk about here in a little bit. And so we'll let her do that when the time's right. And Donna, you want to give them the phone number and talk about our meeting this afternoon?
Amen. I'll say hello to Ogie, who just popped on. Hi, Ogie. Well, praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just blessed to be here this Saturday. And we say Shabbat Shalom is a Sabbath. And so we do have Sabbath services this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church on Osceola, 445 Southeast Osceola Street, right near the hospital. So come over and join us and worship God with us, because the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And that's what we do. We worship God, and we seek His. We learn more about His Word and about spending time with each other in fellowship. And we have a fellowship meal afterwards. And Sharon blesses us and makes spaghetti. Praise God! And other people bring food in. And so come and join us. We'd be love to see you and love to meet you. And if you happen to be a first time listener, you know, we've been on this broadcast for how many years, Pastor Gene? 20.
Almost 24 now.
Wow, that's a long time.
Long time.
So praise God, amen.
We want to give hallelujah.
That's right. Want to give our telephone number if you'd like to reach us. It's area code 772-285-7007. Amen.
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 Okay.
I wanted to mention too, if you'd like to help out with the radio broadcast, it's $165 a program.
For a program,
and right. So we would, if you could help out in any way, that would be wonderful. You can just send a check. It would be to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. That's Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the
or call us.
Or call us.
Code 772-285-7000. 00007.
Let us know what God's doing in your life and what you hear on the program.
Amen.
And we trust it'll be sent on the wings of the Spirit, and you'll have to have ears to hear, and God will show you what he wants you to know at this particular time. Amen?
It's also on Facebook. If you want to go back, and if you missed part of it, you can go back and listen to it, or to the teaching about Teshuvah.
Right. And we still offer my book for $25 and maybe $4 for shipping and handling about the prophetic calendar and the pictures of the Messiah. And that's available. If you'd like to have one of those, you can call or send a check to the address that Donald just gave you, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. Amen?
What's in your book?
Well, it's got all God's appointed times over in Leviticus 23. And there's really eight, including the Sabbath. And then we have lessons on each one of the appointed times individually. In fact, the lessons we're talking about this couple weeks is about the Feast of Trumpets. It took two lessons. There's that much in it, in the book, to cover all the facts that people need to know. And so we have that. We have a lesson on, I have a lesson on Purim. Most people don't realize what Purim's all about. There's a prophetic implication to the last days. And also, Hanukkah is very important as well. And so we cover all that in the last days. And so it's all in this book. And it really is. It's been a lot of years of collection and putting it all together, but it's been a privilege to do it. And we continue to offer it. And we're going to hope and pray that you get a copy of it and you can read it. Amen?
Amen.
Well, we're going to talk about Teshuvah a little bit more today. And you that's been listening know this, but somebody's probably listening that hasn't been. Teshuvah is a time during the month of Elul, which is the sixth month on the Jewish calendar. And it starts on the first of Elul, runs for 40 days. It ends on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. But the first 30 days is the important one leading up to Trumpets, which we're talking about now. God wants people to have their names inscribed in the Book of Life before that day, so when that shofar blows at the beginning of Jacob's trouble, we'll be out of here, and there'll also be one blown at the end of Jacob's trouble for the nation of Israel as well. So I saw some things this week, and I shared a little bit of it on Sunday, or Saturday, I should say, at church. I was going to talk a little bit more about it and for you to hopefully understand. If we go to Hosea chapter 13, and we can see how miserable Israel was, how they turned against God, wouldn't do what he wanted them to do. I see chapter 12, verse 14 caught my eye. Ephraim provoked him, who, God, to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. And then we go into chapter 13. I want to start in verse 4. It says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there's no Savior beside me. Hear that? This is the word of God. There's no Savior beside me. And we hear a lot of thought about other types of ways to get to the kingdom of God. Some people believe there's 8 or 9 or 10 different ways. There's only one way. Now let's go into verse 5. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. Where was that? That was in Egypt. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten who? Me. Pride came in, didn't it? Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard, by the way, will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them also. We see this here. It's interesting, these three animals. The lion, we know Daniel had a vision about a lion, a leopard, and also a bear, didn't he? Who did the lion represent? Babylon, didn't it? Who did the bear who did the leopard represent? Greece. And who did the bear represent? Who was the bear?
Was it Rome?
Huh? Yeah, Rome. Big part of it was Rome. So it's interesting, all these things being showed. Now we're in verse 9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges of whom you saidest, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in name. So I gave thee a king. It was in name, of course, in mine, in God's name. And God had anger over all of it. and he took him away in my wrath. So the scripture says, I gave thee a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath. Why? Because he was disobedient and didn't obey God. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is hid in verse 12. 13, the sorrows of a travailing woman. Now this is talking about the birth pangs of the Messiah during Jacob's trouble. Shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. Men don't need to be around having women watching them have babies, do they? But I watched my two be born, but that's not a normal thing for most people. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be. Turn my page. I got two pages instead of one. I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Verse 15. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come upon from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall become desolate, for she rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be stood up.
Now that's ripped up.
Ripped up. So here we go. You think you can read the whole book of Hosea, how God was angry with Israel, with all the things that they did, all the rebellion, all the disobedience, worshiping false gods, and all the rest of it. We look at chapter 14, and now we see something about Teshuvah coming in the picture here, because he has a promise, and he'll always keep his promise. Chapter 14, now we got 9 verses to read. O Israel, return. Here's your word, return. In the Hebrew is the word Teshuvah, unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by that iniquity. But there's a lot of Jewish people today and individuals as well that's never come to God the first time. But they need to come too. But he's talking to those that claim to know God. Like a lot of, you know, you go to Israel, all the Jews over there claim to know God. But how can you have a relationship with God without a relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah that came for them? Verse 2, take with you words and turn, here we go again, to Teshuvah to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips to worship God the right way. Assure, this is Assyria, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So they were making gods with their hands, statues and all these things that they were using to worship false gods. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon, the best that Israel has. Verse 6, his branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall what? Return. Here's your word to Teshuvah. They're going to come back to God. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Here's the last verse. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, that means knowledgeable and simple things. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are what? Are right. And the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. So with all that Israel did, God's love was still there, wasn't it? And he's with us today. He never gives up on people. He continues. Everybody has a call and a purpose, and God wants them all to come. He's not willing that one would repent. I mean, not one should die, but all should repent to come to the Lord and come to this time. And this is a great time to think about it during this season called Teshuvah. Because here we are. We're only a few days away now from trumpets. What day was it, Don, this month? The 28th? Is that trumpets?
29th.
28th or 29th. So we're getting close. Could it be this year?
Which is Tishrei 1.
That's right.
And 2.
So we want to keep that in mind. You know, we read a lot of books and you get kind of misunderstandings. When I In my book, what I want people to understand when I talk about his coming, we're talking about coming to catch the church away with the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away the true believers left, okay? And then when I talk about his second advent, we're talking about when he literally, at the end of Jacob's trouble, will come and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, like it says in Acts chapter 1 over there. That's the whole plan. But we get it mixed up. People say a second coming. Well, is it the end of Jacob's trouble? Is it the beginning? Well, to me, the second coming means when we're looking for him in the sky. He's not going to come down to the earth. We're looking for him in the sky. And he's going to blow a shofar on trumpets, and we'll be caught away out of this place. And those that are dead in their graves that knew the Messiah, what? They will be resurrected first, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So here we have all these wonderful things. And so I thought about some things in the Bible. Let's go over to Jeremiah with me, back up to Jeremiah chapter 26. We have a song we sing all the time at church from time to time called Opening, Opening, Open the Gates. We're going to read this. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So when he comes at Rosh Hashanah, which is what we believe.
Yeah.
And we have Rosh Hashanah coming up in just a few days.
That's right.
His feet will not touch the ground.
Nope. He's going to call us from that point.
But he will stay in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a shofar or a trumpet blown.
That's right.
And those, like you said, those who are dead will rise first.
Yeah.
And those who are alive and remain will meet them in the sky. Ever be with the Lord.
I told you, Jeremiah, we want to go to Isaiah 26. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Isaiah 26.
Yeah, that's what I want to go to, yeah.
Okay.
There we go. This is that song that we sing. Now, if you read this whole chapter, Isaiah is speaking by the word of the Lord and showing us what God's desire is for us, that we might walk with him, find favor with him, and be increased as a nation, even America or any nation of the world that would honor him. And then we come down, and at the end, Isaiah talks about, in verse 19 of 26, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. So Isaiah believed in resurrection, didn't he? Shall they arise, awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Now these next two verses I've talked a lot about on the radio over the years. If you haven't listened, well, you need to hear it again, but it's important. These next two verses are going to represent the days of all, the last 10 days of Jacob's trouble.
What's interesting here about, you know, people that have been dead for how many years? Thousands of
years. Thousands of years.
And it says, awake and sing. So that's they're going to wake up and they're going to sing. And it says, and ye shall dwell, those that dwell in the dust. And then it talks about the dew. You know, dew is like, to me, it thinks of life and things coming to being resurrected and being like the herbs, you know, they're growing.
That's
they're
right.
Growing. And so they're going to have flesh on them, but it won't be flesh like we have. It'll
That's
be
right.
The supernatural, because Jesus is going to raise us to be able to live with him forever in the kingdom. Amen. And they're going to be cast out. They're going to be cast out of the earth.
That's what it says.
Cast out of the earth. That's power. You know, that's power.
Yeah.
And then that they have to come up. They have to rise first. And then those who remain, which probably won't be a lot of people, considering all the people that have been born throughout the last 6,000 years, there won't be. There'll be more people probably that are rising from the dirt than are caught away alive.
And, you know, the scripture reveal, we talked about that last week, several places in the first covenant, God shows that his purpose for Israel is to be hid during Jacob's trouble. He knows there's going to people go through it, but he wants the people to understand if they come to the Messiah, they won't have to go through this time. They can come right now and they won't have to worry about it. So 20 here, verse 20, is talking about trumpets. Listen to this. Come, my people, enter thou into what? Thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself. Well, trumpets is known as the day of hiding, okay?
And they won't be hiding themselves on earth anywhere.
That's right.
And even those that are coming out of the grave, they're not going to be, you know, because the earth is going to be destroyed
in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways. Even those people will come out from the graves during that time.
So he tells him to hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Well, that's another word for Jacob's trouble, indignation. Now, the next verse takes you out 10 days later to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It says, for behold, the Lord cometh. He's going to come on the Day of Atonement out of this place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So it's amazing when we see all this. Let's go back to the beginning of 26. It says, in that day, what? The day of the Lord. So we're talking about this for Jacob's trouble. This song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. The word salvation is where we get the word Yeshua from. Because his name means what? Salvation. Yahweh. Yod Hey Vav, it means salvation. Yeshua HaMashiach, same way. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. We've talked about this. During the 10 days of awe, all the gates are open in the temple in Yeshua's day, calling people to come in to be a part of the kingdom of God. So he's saying here, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. In fact, the Hebrew shows us mentioned twice. They will keep him in perfect peace, and perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So this is a wonderful chapter to reveal these things that God wants us to know about this time of the year. So here we are. We're only a few days away from trumpets again. Are you ready? Better listen. Are you ready? Do you know for sure that if you died today or you waited till the trumpets, that you'd be taken off of this earth, whether from the grave or caught away? Do you know that in your heart? You need to examine yourself and say, am I in the faith? Or maybe I've never come. Is this a great opportunity to come to Yeshua and say, Lord, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I'm asking you to come in, take over my life. Forgive me of all my sins, and I want to start over. And the Bible makes it clear what you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all the old things are passed away, and you start all over again. I use myself all the time. I'm 79 on my civil calendar, but I'm 30. I'm going to be what? 37 here on the 26th of this month from the day that I got saved. So that's the only thing that God's counting, is those years from the time that I got saved until now. Those other things are all gone. He'll never bring it up before you. Isn't that great that you can start all over, in other words? So he wants you to start all over today with him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So the opening of the gates is key. So they left them open until the day of...
Now, what gates are they talking about?
In the temple.
The temple gates. Okay. Sure, Somebody might be wondering what gates you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Are they in heaven? Are they in earth? So the gates are going to be open until the 10th day.
That's right.
And then they will
slowly close.
And that's everything is sealed at that time.
That's right. I'm going to take you over here to Matthew, if you want to turn there with me.
And at that time, whatever year it is that the catching away, it does happen. That's when the tribulation will start, which is called Jacob's trouble. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Because could this be the year?
That's right.
There's a lot of things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and we can see a real prophetic implication here of what was spoken in the first covenant as well. And you've all, I hope, read the part about the 10 virgins. You know, 5 were ready and 5 were not. Well, I want you to be the ones that are ready and awake and looking and watching, not the ones that are not, okay?
Amen.
Well, let's go at the end of this.
And you know, that says that they were all virgins.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the oil in their lamp,
right.
Did they?
Nope.
They weren't prepared.
That's right.
So, and it talks about in the book of Revelation that he's coming back for those who are looking for him to come back.
Right.
Many people are not looking for him to come back. Many people that are marginal Christians.
I think it's a myth.
Right. They're either not hot or cold, right?
That's right.
They be lukewarm.
That's
but
right.
We're supposed to, God says that we need to be either hot or cold.
Right.
So for those that are coming, he's coming for those that are looking for
him. Looking for him to come.
You know, not looking for all the things that this earth offers, because everything that this earth offers is going to pass away. Everything is going to be pass away, is going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Only thing that really matters is the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
Seeking first the
kingdom
of God.
We want his face and not his hand, right?
Yes, and all the souls that we can bring along with us.
That's right.
That's right.
So Matthew 25, I'm going to read part of this about the virgins. Verse 8 says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." So remember, you only have your own oil with the Holy Ghost. You can't get it from anybody else. Chapter 25, verse 8, that was. "But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came." Who's the bridegroom? It's Yeshua. "And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage." If you look at the grammar and all, and the prophetic understanding with the Jewish understanding, the marriage was this marriage supper of the Lamb. When's the marriage supper? After the wedding ceremony was over, in those 7 days in the honeymoon chamber that we talked about.
So those that went to get oil, they didn't get back in time.
They didn't get back in time. And then it says, "And the door was shut." We talked about Yom Kippur, the close of Jacob's trouble at the end. The gates will slowly be closed, and they've been open for 10 days, giving people that last chance to come in.
And that's on the Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement. And then it says, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So he's showing us here a precursor of what's going to happen in the last days, and it all lines up with what he talked about in the first covenant. The first and the new covenant all are put together just like a glove. It fits together so good. Now,
so a lot of people say, well, we don't know then, because it says here you don't know the day or the hour.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say you don't know the season.
That's right.
Does it?
Nope.
No, it says you don't know the day or the hour. And so that could
be one of 2 days.
One of 2 days. That's the Rosh Hashanah or trumpets is the only.
That's it.
The only feast.
The only feast that does what?
Comes on a new moon. Comes on a new moon.
So they were looking for a new moon.
And it could be 2 days. One of 2 days.
That's right.
And so that's how they look for the new moon in Israel, because their calendar goes by the moon, not by the sun like our calendar does.
Right.
So. So it doesn't really say you won't know the season. And actually, Paul taught, and he said there was no reason for him to tell you again, because they already knew the season.
He already taught them that.
And they had been exercising uh-huh. these feasts and festivals, all seven of them, for how mm-hmm. many years?
Yeah, long time.
Long, long, long time, since Passover started with Moses.
Now I'm going to take you to Joel chapter 2, talking about this a little bit. And here's some more prophetic implications to where we are today. Chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 15 of the book of Joel. You know, this is this book that talks about the people in the Valley of Decision. And we got a lot of people in America and around the world that are in the Valley of Decision. You know, they go to church and all, but they've never bowed their knee and made a decision and asked the Lord to come into their life. It's important that we do that. Verse 15 of chapter 2 says this, "Blow the trumpet," or the shofar, "in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly." Well, what day would that be on the Jewish calendar? There's only one day that God requires a fast and a solemn assembly as with the fast. What is that? It's Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, showing when the Lord's going to come back. Now, verse 16, "Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast." Now, listen to this. "Let the bridegroom," who's Yeshua, "go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet." Hear that? We're going to be coming back. "Let the priest that minister of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God?" And so, why were they weeping between the porch and the altar? The priest, because they know it was a closing of the gate was coming. It was going to be the end of it all. And they were crying out for people to come to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. They were crying out for that purpose.
And many Jewish people won't come, because if you read the next verse, Pastor Gene, it says the Lord will be jealous for his land.
That's
what
right.
land is that?
That's Israel.
The land of Israel. And pity his people. And who are they? Those are the Jewish people.
Yay. He's going to answer them. Now, we just read that. Now, let's look at something in the New Testament now. Go to Revelation chapter 19 with me.
But he's going to heal the land, and there won't be a reproach
nope.
anymore amongst the heathen.
It'll all be over, won't it? We said this last week, on that last year of Jacob's trouble, when the 10 days of awe comes, it'll all be over in 22 days. Now, we've read these a lot because this is how we got the name of our church. Verse 7 says in 19 of Revelation, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. To who? To Yeshua HaMashiach. For the marriage, it means the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and his wife. You notice it's not a bride anymore. That means they've been in heaven, they got married. And his wife hath made herself ready. These other translations keep using the word bride. It's the correct word here with the Hebrew and all. And the Greek is wife. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So we must have on those garments that only Jesus can give. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called, or it means invited, unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Who are the ones that were called? It's the Jews that are called at the end. See, they should have came in first. They're going to come in last. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. It's amazing when we look at all this, what God's got in place. So we can read all this and see when he's going to come back. And he's got it all planned, and it's all in the book. Chapter 20, verse 4, look at this one. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. That's going to be you and I that are caught off the earth or come out of our graves in Christ. At trumpets, and judgment was given unto them. You know, the church is going to judge angels, it tells us in Corinthians. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That gives you a clue who's going to behead them. Who does all the beheading in the Middle East? Who does that, huh? There's only one group of people that do that. For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived. And the grammar here is, and they lived again and reigned with Christ, what? For 1,000 years. So we have all this right here, talking about this particular day. So when they come out of this chamber as a wife, it's going to be on the Day of Atonement. And we know, I've talked about this a lot. You know, Passover was an individual thing for people to come to the Lord, but Atonement is for the entire nation of Israel. That's why God set it aside. And that high priest went in once a year, and if he came out, did everything right, well, they knew they had another year. If not, the high priest would drop dead, wouldn't he? So we can see all this as we look carefully and understand his purpose for us is to have salvation for all of his people. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and come to Christ.
Amen.
So
amen.
It's exciting when I think about it. All the things that God has put in place for us to know. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
So remember, when I talk about the coming, I'm talking about the catching away. The church calls it the rapture. That word is not in the Bible. It's called catching away in 1 Thessalonians. Okay. So the coming is when he comes in the sky to collect all the saints that walked with Christ. Can you imagine how many it must be from the time that Jesus was on this earth, that died, went into their graves, and they're waiting for the resurrection also to have their bodies, what, put into a supernatural body again. Let's look at that.
What about the people that were obedient and holy that lived during the Old Testament time?
Okay.
Will they be coming out of their graves at the same time?
Nope, they won't. The Bible makes it clear. Now, I've had a lot of teaching on that as well. There's only going to be one catching away, but there's going to be several resurrections that's going to happen. I don't have time to go through all that with you today, but there'll be a resurrection out from their graves.
The
okay,
mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a group of people at the end of Jacob's trouble on trumpets the same way. They will be brought out of their graves. Okay, now if they have come to the Messiah, they'll go in the kingdom. If not, they're going to have to wait another 1,000 years. Before that would ever happen, okay? Because what are they going to do? They'll have to wait till the white throne judgment then, okay, if they were an unbeliever.
Oh, right, but I'm talking about those who believed in God and were obedient to God.
Okay.
There'll be
a resurrection for them.
Like Moses and,
that's right.
And Joshua and, you know,
yep.
And all these other people.
There'll be a resurrection at the end on trumpets again for the righteous that were there at that particular time, right? It'll all be there. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us this in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, means we're not all going to be dead, but we shall all be what? Changed or transformed. Okay, and he says, in a moment. That's not very quick. That's pretty quick, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump that's blown on Rosh Hashanah, on that last year of Jacob's troubles, when it's going to happen. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. That will be done on Tishri 1, trumpets of that year.
Maybe I didn't make myself clear when I asked that question. Because I know that Yeshua, and I know you're looking at the catching away, but when Yeshua died and all, there were graves that were opened.
That's right.
And those graves that were opened were Old Testament saints.
We don't know how many, but there was a number, weren't there?
Right, and so he took them with him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Some of them even walked in the cities.
People recognized them.
And they knew them. Some of them even were able to remain there for I don't know how many days before they went to heaven with Jesus when he went, you know, before he went back up to heaven. So there were many saints that were came out of their grave. Graves were open. Said the graves were open. Right,
that's
Pastor
right.
Gene?
That's right.
And those people were resurrected. So those were people that who followed God, who loved God, who were obedient to God, to his, you know, to his Torah.
That's right.
To his word. So that, God didn't forget those people.
Sure didn't.
No, because there are many of them that followed and loved God and wrote this Bible. What people that you're talking about.
Aren't we glad?
Joel and Hosea and all these other, Jeremiah, you know, and all these other people.
Yeah, and John chapter 11, verse 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So we're talking about resurrection, aren't we? But look at the next verse. And whosoever liveth, it means they're alive, and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? This is another window showing us of the catching away of the saints. They will never go to the way, will not go to heaven by the way of the grave. How about you? I don't want to go by the way of the grave. I want to just be caught off this earth. Could it be that at the end of this month? Could it be? Well, we'll find out. So it's so incredible, this time of Teshuvah. So keep praying for not only for yourself, examine yourself, make sure you're in the faith. You can help somebody else and give them an opportunity to come, but make sure that you know that you know that you know that if he would come, that you would be here. So Sharon's got something she wanted to share with us.
Well,
I think it's very important.
It's important that we have clean hands and a pure
heart. Pure heart all the time.
And that we read and see what it says in the New Testament, you know, that we're to love one another, we're to forgive.
That's right.
And we're not to hold any ought in our heart.
That's right.
We're to be humble. We're to be like Yeshua. There's a lot of things that are happening that we don't know. I have all the answers to, but you know, we're to keep our heart. Our heart has to stay clean and stay right. Has
and
to
pure.
Be pure. Amen.
Right, and pure.
Okay,
amen.
Sharon.
Well, Father has laid upon my heart to talk about, are we blaming the right person? Some people are blaming God for the things that the devil's doing. And I'm going to give you the scripture that will back this one up. You will turn to St. John 10:10.
Okay.
The thief, which is Satan, the devil, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am, which is God, cometh that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Also, it is written, for we know in Romans 8:28, mm-hmm. all things work together
for good
for those who love him, Jesus Yeshua, and who have called according to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
He also writes in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Well, that's a fact, isn't it, huh?
The knowledge is the word of God. We have got to learn the word of God and hide it within our hearts.
Yes.
Father says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge, our protection, our strength, very present in time of trouble. So he's there present for us when we're having troubles. We must turn to him and ask for him in the time of trouble. There was a beautiful Bahamian woman holding a little child during the hurricane, and she was saying, "Please pray for us." She turned to the Lord in her time of trouble. She did not blame the Lord. "Lord, why did this storm destroy my place? Lord, why did this storm come?" No, she prayed for the Lord to help her during this time of trouble and during the storm. For we know that in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, yes, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness in high places. So we're not wrestling against God or one another. We're wrestling against Satan himself. This is the person that needs to be put the blame on. Yes. We mustn't blame God for these. We must turn to God when we are having our troubles and problems. He promises in our in his word that he will come to our need and he will come to our trouble if we call on him. We can take his Bible scriptures and we can proclaim his scriptures of promise over our lives and over our circumstances. If we go back to the book of Genesis, we will see that in Genesis 3:8, God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and talked with him and talked with her. This is how God originally planned the planet Earth to be, to walk and talk. But as we know from the story, man followed his own ways.
Yeah.
And he did not follow the ways of the Lord. This is the reason why we are still having troubles in the earth realm today. This is what the Lord will help us with. And he will bring us to his word, bring us to prayer, and bring us also to the church and loved ones within the church community to help us when we need help. Call on people if you're having a trouble. Ask them to pray with you and help, and they will be glad to pray with you. As long as you ask for help, people will know your situations and they'll be able to help and pray with you.
Yes, Lord.
And this is what the Lord's laid upon my heart today. Please turn to him with all of your cares and your desires and needs. And you say, "Well, the Lord took my loved one." I'm hearing this. Someone out there is saying, "And the Lord took their loved one." Well, we just read it said Satan himself is the one who comes to kill.
Yeah.
So we need to turn the blame back onto where the blame belongs. And we need to remember that God has gone before us to prepare a place for us. Heaven is going to be a beautiful, perfect, holy, holy place for us to be with the Father and to do his will in heaven with the Father. And it's the most perfect and wonderful place anyone could ever long to be. So they're graduating from this wicked earthly realm and going up to the beautifully heavenly realm with God the Father and Yeshua, and they're having a heavenly realm reunion, yes, with all the loved ones that's gone on before them. So concentrate on those beautiful and lovely thoughts about heaven and about the Lord.
Yes.
For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, that all should come unto him and none
should perish. That's right.
Thank you, Father.
That's good. Good,
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was just thinking, Pastor Donna, you know, you were asking about the first covenant saints. If they die, what's going to happen with them? Well, the Bible makes it clear that the first covenant people that walked righteous with God, like David and Solomon, the kings and all, they'll be resurrected at the end of Jacob's trouble with all those martyrs that died during Jacob's trouble. It says over in Daniel, the last verse, Daniel will have his due at the end of this time. You can read that if you want to. If somebody wants to go to chapter, let's go to Daniel real quick here. We got a couple of minutes here.
Well, what about all the people that Jesus took up?
What about them? We don't know. It doesn't tell you what happened to them. All we know is they appeared. Maybe they were only here for a short period of time. We have no idea.
But they're not in their graves.
They're not in their graves. That's a fact. They're not. But
they're with the Lord.
That's right. But we got to remember what God's doing with all this. I'm going to read this with you in Daniel, chapter 12. And this
because
is
he emptied out that place
that's
called
right.
paradise.
That's right.
He totally emptied paradise out.
Right.
And the ones he left there were the wicked.
That's right.
The ones that were left were the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And when will the wicked be judged? At the end of
the thousand-year reign.
The thousand years
right.
reign.
Now, if you look at Daniel 12, the very last verse, it says, but go thy ways, talking to Daniel, till the end. What's it mean? The end of his life. For thou shalt rest. That means you're going to die. Okay? And stand the resurrection in thy lot at the end of the days. So if he's going to be resurrected at the end of the days, the rest of all the first covenant people that walked righteous with God in his eyes, like Abraham and all them, Isaac and Jacob, they'll be resurrected at that time. Their physical bodies will be put into a supernatural body as well. So God's got a plan for every single person. He's got it planned. See, he's got these two programs that people can't seem to hook together. You got to separate Israel from the church. The church is going to be removed. We're out of the picture. This part we're reading right here, the church is already gone. This has got nothing to do with us. This is talking about the nation of Israel. So he's going to end the church. It tells you that in Romans 11. And the fullness of the Gentile comes in. He's going to do it. He's going to turn to Israel, and he's going to do his best to bring them into the kingdom of God. That's what the last 7 years of Jacob's trouble is called. It's a love of God to give him another 7 years to come into the kingdom of God. And he comes down to the end there, the last day of trumpets of the tribulation period. He's given him another 10 days of grace to come to the Messiah. And it tells you in Zechariah, though, what? That there are going to be people left at the end. Two-thirds of Jerusalem will be ravished, and only one-third is going to make it. So I think about Hosea's name that we were reading of. His name means salvation. So we have to keep that all in mind, that God has a purpose for everyone. You listen to him on the radio right now. God has a destiny, a purpose for you. I want to go there. Let's back up to Jeremiah chapter 29 real quick. This is right in the midst of Israel being in their disobedience, and look what God says to them. I get my pages.
And you know what Sharon said was so true, because a lot of people have blamed God mm-hmm. for things that mm-hmm. have happened, even in the Old Testament, people blamed God. Well, you know, he's not the one to blame.
That's right.
We're to turn to him, not get angry with him. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you with me?
The Lord, where are you going to?
Jeremiah chapter 29. Starting in verse...
You know, and it says in the last days that things are going to happen.
That's right.
There's going to be... You know, it's terrible what happened in the Bahamas. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone says, well, praise God, Florida missed it. You know, by God's grace, we missed it. By
That's
God's
right.
grace,
Amen.
We missed it. And because there are a lot of Christians in the Bahamas.
Yes, we must pray for them.
And we must pray for them. And then millions of people are helping them and taking them food and water. But, you know, most of them on those two islands or maybe more than that, have lost everything.
Everything.
Everything. Every single possession lost, you know, and their homes and their dwelling places, and to blame God for that, well, we don't know, but we do know in the end times that a lot of things are going to happen. Look at the fires and things that are happening even in our country. Yep. And you know, because, and even in Israel, you know, God protects people, but he turned away because of their sin. He turned away from them and sent them throughout the world, you know, but he's gathering them back up and bringing them back to Israel. So we can't blame God because of something that's happened.
Right.
And I know that that might be an easy person to blame, you know, because he's not here to argue with us. But we just know that the enemy is at work.
And, working
and things
overtime.
Happen. And, you know, it does rain on the just and the unjust, sure doesn't it, Sharon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes. You know, we don't understand a lot of things, but we still need to turn to the Lord with all our heart. Like it says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen.
And all the other things will be added unto us.
You.
Yeah. So in Jeremiah here, verse 29, starting in verse 9, he's talking about the false prophets. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 7 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Here's a word to Shuv again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what? All your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away, here's your word to Shuv again, your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've given you, whither I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive.
And why did he drive them away? Why did he drive them out of Israel? Why, when Mark Twain went to Israel, why did he say it was nothing but rocks and sand and desolate?
They would never mount anything.
Nothing would grow, no grass,
that's right.
Nothing. Why did God let that happen? It was like a desert land.
Because of their disobedience.
Because of their disobedience. And he drove them away. He basically gave them a divorce them.
That's right. All the problems they have today is because of their disobedience. He told them in Deuteronomy at the end, I set before you today life and death, and you choose. And the death that came, he scattered them all. He told them he was going to scatter them all over the world. They were going to be a hiss and all the other things with the other nations. And that's where they are today because they were disobedient to God, could not keep his word, okay?
And we can read, is it in Deuteronomy where he gives the blessings and the curses?
Oh, yeah. It's all through
from
there.
From that one mountain. They,
that's
you know,
right.
All the blessings, all the curses because of disobedience. Yeah. You know, if you will do right, then you're going to be blessed. If you don't do right, then, you know, you're going to inherit the curses. So it's not God who curses people.
Yeah.
People basically curse themselves because of their disobedience.
But the blessings, if you read those blessings, it's a pretty good list. But read the curses if they don't.
It's even longer.
It goes on and on and on, you know, what God was going to do because they would not obey him.
But we're in this time now where if you go to Israel now, Mark Twain would probably say, gee whiz, what happened?
Yeah, what happened over here?
Because he said, how can anything live here? You know,
that's
everything
right.
is dead. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no trees. There's no trees, no grass.
Yeah.
Nothing but the Bible says even the rocks will cry out. But look at Israel now. Everything is alive and
green,
growing, and fruit and vegetables and all kinds of prosperity. And people have returned.
That's right.
And there's going to be more that are returning.
That's it.
God turned back, and he's bringing them back. But they had to be desolate for a long time for everything to dry
out. A lot of years,
out,
boy.
You know? And so, you know, God can change that island over there and make it prosperous again.
That's right.
You know, in the Bahamas. But we see that because of their disobedience, they were sent away. But we're talking about returning to Shuva.
Now's the time to come back.
They're coming
back. Not tomorrow. Today is the day
to the Lord
of salvation.
So not only for the Jews, but for believers. Here, Pastor Gene, you have a few minutes. For believers to what? Return to Christ.
That's right.
A lot of people have said at one time they asked Jesus to come into their heart, and then something may have happened in their life, and then they got mad at God.
That's right.
Like Sharon was talking about.
That's it.
And they said, you know, I don't want any more to do with God.
That's right. They turned from God.
So they need to what? Teshuva. They need to return and come back full circle to God.
Repent and turn to God.
There's a lot of people that never came to God. So what a good time now during this season to make your first step toward God. You make a step toward Him, He'll be right there to meet you. He's willing and obedient to bring you into the kingdom of God. All you have to do is humble yourself, admit that you need a Savior, you've sinned and you've failed, and you can't do it on your own, and He'd be willing to come in and take your life over. And He'll come in and turn everything upside down, and it'll seem like a mess maybe for a while, but He'll straighten everything out if you just continue to walk with Him and trust Him. So today is a day of salvation, the Bible says, not tomorrow. So if you haven't made that decision, we're asking you today, make that decision. It's the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life. And then maybe give us a call. Let us know what happened with you today with this word you heard. Or you can call WCNO Radio, you know, at 221-1100 and tell somebody so they can pray with you. And we'll be glad to pray with you as well. So we trust that you've been blessed with what you heard here today. And it's not about us. It's all about God.
Amen.
And this whole book we have is all about God to you. It's a love letter from God the Father to the whole world if they'll just read this book and put it in their heart. And it's been, think about it. He's maintained this for hundreds and hundreds of years and kept it in place for you and I to glean and for our children, our grandchildren, and great-grandchildren to glean from. This is our life. You know, a lot of people read that book, A Purpose-Driven Life. I tell people this all the time. My purpose-driven life is in this book right here, not some book that some man read. I want the Word of God. That's my purpose-driven life. Whatever it says here, that's what I want to do. I don't want to do anything else. And so that's what you have to do as well. So make a decision. Don't listen to all the naysayers. Don't think about
it.
I've had some people say, well, if I come to the Lord, I'm going to have a miserable life. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. You'll do so much more.
Thank you, Lord.
You have the freedom to do it.
So God before you, who can be against you?
So as we close here, I'm going to blow the shofar.
Right.
And we're going to ask you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. It could be just a week or so away. You ready?
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. That wasn't a very long blast, though, Pastor Gene.
You want to make it louder?
A little bit. Yes, long one. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, Bill's going to share about the blowing of the shofar today.
To this afternoon.
This afternoon at our Shabbat. So come and learn more about the shofar and the different sounds that it makes. Amen. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna and Sharon. And we are here to
lift up
the Word of God and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father. So come join us at our Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock if you can. And we're at 445 Southeast Osceola Street, and that's at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida. Our phone number is area code 772-285-7007, and we say Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom to you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom to all of you.
Sabbath.
Sabbath peace.
And rest.
And rest. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
And look up, as I said, because your redemption draweth nigh.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.